Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix. White letters appear and disappear on a black background, forming two words in a variety of languages. The text settles on English, the exchange. The words vanish. Letters on book spines read, Trapper Ink Productions. A cartoon fish swims past a logo, Rowcliffe Productions. Orange, yellow, and pink text spells P-Y-P-O. Text appears on a black background. Netflix presents a Netflix original film. A film by Stephanie Lang. Beneath a blanket, a man and woman kiss passionately.
What if we stayed in bed all day?
That sounds like the best day ever. We should stay here all week.
What if we got bored?
Us bored? When have we ever been bored?
What if we got hungry? What would we do for food?
Well, we could order takeout and have it delivered right here.
A title fades in beneath the Williamsburg Bridge, Irreplaceable You.
But then, what if we lost our jobs and apartment and we had no place to live?
Stop worrying.
The view drifts past leafless trees set against an overcast sky.
Full disclosure, I didn't have to worry about any of that. Because this is where my story ends.
A cemetery.
So does yours, by the way. So does everyone's.
A headstone.
It's okay, really.
Abigail Gordon.
Calm. Peaceful.
Bird poop lands on it.
One with nature.
A guy with glasses brings flowers to the grave.
Most of it I don't miss at all, really. But then, there's Sam.
He wipes the bird droppings off Abigail's headstone and smiles softly.
Hi, Sam.
Hi, Abby.
He folds the dirtied handkerchief.
Sam is the love of my life. But let's start at the beginning.
Sam tucks the hanky into his pocket as the view drifts above him. Now, at an aquarium, Kits around a tour guide as she gestures behind her at the fish.
And here we come to our coral reef, home to many species, including over 50 types of fish, the green moray eel, the cow nose ray. Oh, those guys are mating. Okay,
Why
look over
like
here.
Why are six of them mating together?
Which one is the mommy?
See, here's the thing, kids. Fish are not like people. They're not monogamous. Not that many people are either, but that's another.
What's monogamous?
Well, okay, monogamy means if you love someone, you stick with them for the long haul.
My dad screwed my Aunt Rosa.
My mommy and daddy are separated.
My mom ran away with my dentist. My dad says she was getting her cavity filled in.
Yep, it's not easy. Lots of things can separate us. Aunt Rosa, the dentist. Lauren Mulgrew in World of Amphibians.
The guide brings out a book on marine life.
However, there actually is one monogamous fish.
A round creature with a wide jaw.
The deep sea anglerfish. The male anglerfish hunts for the female, following her through the most dangerous parts of the deep. Then, when he finds her, he bites into her flesh and never ever lets go. The two fish fuse into one. And we're walking. And we have our listening ears on.
A girl bites into the shoulder of a boy wearing glasses.
Ah! And that was it. True love.
The pair frolics at a beach.
Well, true love plus an emergency room visit for Sam and a lot of therapy for me.
Holds a teddy bear as they walk hand in hand. On the beach, Sam uses a stick to trace a heart in the sand. Abby fixes Sam's glasses and laughs. They hold hands on a bench and watch the ocean. Now as teenagers, they sit on the bench and play with a stuffed anglerfish. As adults in Central Park, the couple runs between the columns of an ornate walkway. Outside a New York apartment, Sam carries Abby from a car packed with boxes. Later, They prop the building's door open and carry boxes inside. At a small party, Sam gestures before a group of nicely dressed friends.
Sam's telling the story of the bite again, which was a romantic gesture.
It was a behavioral problem. She bit like 6 kids that year.
You're the only one that meant anything to me.
Well, I had to go to the hospital.
6 stitches.
I almost got kicked out of school.
Well, you should have been kicked out of school. You were rabid.
For years, I've tried to have her defanged and declawed.
Nice. So,
hey, oh, guys, everybody, come this way, please. I would like to make a toast.
Benji.
Oh, yeah.
Really bad.
Sam, it's already started. Happy engagement, you guys. Yeah?
Happy engagement.
Cheers. Yeah, to the bride and groom, huh? I mean, they don't make any sense on paper, right? I mean, Abby is type A, and Sam is type Z.
Come on, I'm not type A.
What is a Z?
I mean, how did an amazing woman like you end up with the most clueless white dude in the city? I mean,
this could be your best toast ever.
Look, honestly, I generally disapprove of people who are as disgustingly happy as you guys are, but I'm really glad that you proposed to this guy.
Oh, you proposed?
You know, she just beat me to it. I was trying to figure out the best moment.
You were taking too long.
So I stuck a rubber band on my finger and that was it.
That's cute.
The truth is, there may be a little incentive to make it all official.
We're not telling people yet, but I guess everybody knows now, so.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Abby drums her hands on her stomach and they kiss. At night, Abby touches Sam's shoulder as they lie in bed.
What if it hadn't worked out between us?
Impossible.
What if I'd been hit by a bus or run off with gypsies or become a man?
I would stop the bus, join the gypsies, or become gay.
You would be gay if I were a man.
You don't need to do that.
Become a man?
Test it.
As they start kissing, Abby takes off Sam's glasses.
Top of the third, 7 o'clock from the lamp.
I don't give a fuck about my glasses right now.
You will in the morning when I'm in the shower.
Stop.
And they're not
talking.
On your side.
They continue kissing as she tugs off his shirt. Morning in the kitchen. Sam looks over a notebook.
Eminently psychological.
Okay, so are you good if we confirm the venue today?
Uh-huh.
Oh, and the caterer wants to know chocolate, hazelnut, or raspberry.
Mm-hmm.
Sam?
What? For what?
For the cake? The wedding cake?
Well, not hazelnut. Nobody's ever yum, that cake is hazelnut.
Okay, raspberry or chocolate?
Please not raspberry. The seeds get stuck in your teeth, and then you realize later nobody told you, and it's like, are these people even my friends?
So chocolate?
Seems so obvious.
She kisses him, then glances at his socks.
That's one green and one red.
Huh? I feel the same.
Don't forget to water Ruby.
In a classroom, Sam hands papers back to students.
There are still more than a few misconceptions about the structural differences between sensory neurons, interneurons, and motor neurons, which is totally cool.
Does anyone have any questions about this?
The students stare blankly.
I know. It's exciting stuff.
At a publishing house.
So then he just sends me this totally unprompted dick pic, and I'm like, whoa, you just went there? And he says, oh, baby, that's only my level 1.
What is that?
He has a level 1, 2, 3, depending on relationship status.
Aren't you curious about level 2?
It's insane. Look.
She shows Abby.
Well, at least he's thinking of you.
Lies, all lies. I saved it to my photo album, and it says it was taken on April 4th, 2013. We haven't even met yet. This erection has nothing to do with me. I hate dating. You're so lucky you have Sam.
I mean, yes, but I still had to get maybe pregnant to get him to step up.
Oh my God, Abby, that's it. I just need to get definitely pregnant.
No, that's not what I'm saying, but speaking of, oh my God, I gotta go.
What? You're not supposed to go today. We have the meeting with all the mom blogs. You're supposed to approve the feminist princess book.
Melanie, you got this.
I don't. Got this!
Oh, God, I didn't realize it was possible to be this tired and bloated.
Maybe it's twins.
Yikes!
As Abby hurries off, Melanie pulls out her phone and opens a text. Her eyes widen.
Level 2.
An illustration of a pregnancy.
How is it possible something that giant comes out of there?
It just looks like something out of a sci-fi horror movie.
That's not helpful.
I'm so sorry to keep you waiting.
This picture, is it necessary?
The doctor smiles politely and leans forward.
Abby, I have some difficult news. The blood test shows that you are not pregnant.
Oh. Are you sure?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I guess that's okay. I mean, the whole thing was kind of a surprise.
We probably weren't even ready.
Right. It's just, it's weird, because I know it's super early, but I really feel something there.
The sonogram shows that you have a mass in your pelvis, roughly the size of a tangerine. It can mimic pregnancy.
A mass.
What kind of a mass?
I don't want you guys to panic, because it could be nothing.
There's this moment when everything changes. You look back, and there was the moment before. See that person?
It's not helpful.
She's thinking about whether she's hoping for a boy or girl, and tiny fingers and toes, and then...
I'm so sorry to keep you waiting.
Suddenly... Yeah.
They lie in bed.
At least we won't have to pay for college.
Unless it's a really smart tumor.
She shoots him a look.
Too soon? It's too soon. Tangerine is better than an orange.
Or a grapefruit.
Right. Or a... What's bigger than a grapefruit?
They turn at the same time.
A watermelon?
Oh, wait, sorry. Did I say that was the moment?
It's two tangerines and a grapefruit.
Correction. This is the moment.
Well, that's a lot of fruit.
The tests have shown that it is cancer. And I know how hard this must be to hear. It's incredibly rare in someone your age. It's just terrible luck. We can talk about options whenever you're ready.
Is there one that doesn't involve dying?
I've already consulted with a colleague, and after the initial surgery, there's a clinical trial I'd like to enroll you in.
Her shoulders sink as Sam lowers his gaze.
You didn't answer my question. Did he answer my question?
We don't like to make predictions, but in addition to your treatment, I want to talk to you about your quality of life. We can help with pain management and some palliative care, and also, some people have found great solace from support groups. I know this is a terrible shock, but let's take it one.
Outside the hospital, Abby shoulders her purse as she strides through the empty parking lot. She slows down and stares off with a stunned expression. As he follows behind, Sam wraps his arm around her shoulder. He grips her tightly as she falls against him. She throws her arm over his back and hugs him. At home, Abby's mom holds a phone to her ear. On the other end, Abby sits on the couch in her apartment.
Abby, I'm so, so sorry.
Mom,
why is this happening?
Mom, stop crying. Everything's gonna be okay.
This is all my fault. It's all my fault.
No, it's not your fault, Mom.
Was it all that diet soda I let you drink? I should not have let you drink that diet soda.
No, I don't think it was all the diet soda.
I shouldn't have used the microwave.
And anyway, we'll never know. Yeah.
I'm going to come visit and cook for you. I love you.
Yep.
I love you, Abby.
Love you.
You're my baby girl.
Bye.
She hangs up. Scrolling through her phone, she tilts her head.
Hi. I'd like to cancel my membership to Crunch.
That's so sad. Why?
Because I'm officially dying, so I kind of feel like, why work out?
You don't love Crunch?
No, I'm perfectly satisfied with Crunch.
Have you tried our classes?
Yes, I've tried the classes.
Have you tried Booty Kick and Step?
No, I haven't tried Booty Kick and Step.
I'm going to need to put you on hold.
I'll hold.
She makes a face and holds the phone an arm's length away. Later, she dials and holds the phone to her ear.
Hi, this is Abigail Gordon from the Gordon Jones wedding. So we had booked your venue for our wedding, but unfortunately, it turns out I'll be unavailable. So we were hoping we could still get the deposit back. If you could call me back and let me know, that'd be great. Thanks.
She checks the calendar on her phone, then presses the 20th, where it's pop-up in all caps, scheduled event, surgery. On the roof, Abby gazes at the sunset as Sam sneaks up behind her.
Abs, how are you feeling?
I'm scared.
It's gonna be okay.
What if I die?
We're gonna fight this. I'll always be there for you.
With the New York skyline behind them, they kiss. Words appear. 6 weeks later, daytime in her living room, Abby lies curled on a yoga mat wearing headphones. She grimaces in pain.
They say after surgery, you're going to experience some minor discomfort. It's stage 4 cancer. Nothing is minor. Nothing is comfortable.
In his classroom, Sam sits on the windowsill and rubs his eye. He walks to the front of the room. In their chairs, students slump and check their phones.
So let's take another look at the proposed model for auto-associative memory and its constituent neural network.
He gazes at the classroom of bored students.
Or not. Let's not and say we did. Class dismissed.
As Sam walks out, students lethargically peel themselves from desks. At a treatment center, Abby sits in the waiting room.
Hey.
Hi.
How's it going? I'm Dominic. Nice to meet you. I'm going to be running your treatment suite.
Treatment suite?
Oh, yeah. Don't get excited. It doesn't mean I have 4 walls. Go ahead and grab a seat right there. For the next time, you're probably going to want to bring your own pillow in from home. You're also going to need your cell phone with headphones and grab a magazine. Some of these guys tend to hoard them. You're going to end up reading an old ripped up copy of Duck Enthusiast.
It's okay. I don't read Duck Enthusiast.
Yeah, well, you will. All right. Feet up. There you go. Yes, you will feel like shit after this, but it's different for everybody, and no, your hair isn't gonna fall out right away, and besides, it looks like you have plenty of it, so you're doing good. And if you need snacks, you gotta bring them from home. My name's not Seamless.
I feel underdressed.
Oh, that guy? Yeah, I don't know why he does that. He thinks it helps.
Does it?
A man in a tux.
I don't know, he's not dead yet, so it's gotta be doing something, right?
He looks at her phone.
Cute. Who's that, husband?
Fiancé. He's teaching right now.
Oh, okay, so. Cool. What does he teach?
Hi.
Hey, what's his name? What's his name?
Sam.
Sam? Cool. Tell Sam I say what up.
The nurse says what up.
Well, my name's Dominic. You don't have to call me a nurse or whatever. You can just use my name.
Dominic.
Says, yeah.
Hi. Yeah.
Let Sam know you're in good hands, all right?
Dominic smiles and prepares her treatment. Now, Abby strolls through a hallway sipping a green juice. She spots a notice board featuring support center events such as heartbeat drumming and mud walking. An elevator opens and she steps into a brightly lit art studio where half a dozen people sit in a circle of chairs.
Hey, come on in. We're just getting started. Go grab yourself a hook in your arm.
Have you heard of Catholic yoga? It's a full Latin mass with vinyasa yoga positions.
Am I serious? Right,
yeah. I feel like I'm in touch with
The
beyond, so that's neat.
Whatever works.
Mm-hmm.
Last month, $12,000 on treatments, plus I'm currently unemployed.
Cancer is your job.
Well, I'd rather be unemployed.
I wouldn't sit there. This is the man cave.
Yeah, we don't listen to the women.
Yeah. We don't listen to each other.
Hey, guys, make her feel welcome.
Yeah, come on. Only you. Only you.
Welcome to the last group you ever wanted to be a member of. What's your name?
Abby.
Hi, Abby.
But, you know, don't get attached.
Got it. You okay there, Meryl?
She's so pretty.
You don't even know her.
Well, I like the name Abby.
That's all that Meryl have her process.
Yeah.
An older man helps Abby unravel some yarn.
Just find the end.
Meryl, that's so pretty. What is that?
Well, it's going to be a teddy bear.
Is that for your nephew?
No, it's for me to be buried with.
Well, I like that you're thinking ahead. Smart lady.
Hey, Myron, your doily is really coming along.
I wish I could say the same for the rest of my life. Every morning I wake up, new lease on life, lasts about 20 minutes. Then I remember the meds sucked. There's construction on the F train. Got a leak in my roof. It's going to cost $3,500. Apparently, I still sweat the small stuff.
Hard not to. How's Estelle holding up?
She's good. There's a new hawk in Central Park. Every morning we go out there and watch the little guy. I hope she keeps up the bird watching after I'm gone. With, oh, whatever new guy, she's banging.
Welcome to group.
It's the way we roll.
We have fun.
As Abby leaves the support center, Myron catches up.
The whole point is to mingle.
Not feeling up to it.
Neither does anybody. That's why we do it. Myron. Multiple myeloma. You never heard of it. Stay a while.
I'm not really a mingler.
Not a crocheter either, apparently.
Didn't have time for pointless hobbies then. Really don't have time for them now. And I'm especially uninterested in discovering that crocheting is a metaphor for healing or whatever.
What you're feeling is totally normal.
You know, I wish people would stop telling me that totally insane things are totally normal.
Insane things are normal. Have you looked around?
And you just accept that? You just accept everything that's going on? You make jokes about your wife having a new boyfriend?
I don't accept it, but in the event that I do kick the bucket, I hope she does find a boyfriend. Somebody nice. Less well endowed, to be sure, but nice.
Well, I just think I'm in a different situation. Sam and I met when we were kids. We've been together forever.
How old is he?
31.
Yeah. He's gonna go through a major slut phase.
Her eyes widen as he covers his mouth with his hand.
I also have Tourette's.
Good to know.
Yeah, you come back.
She smiles and nods at him.
Nice to meet you, Myron.
Nice to meet you, Abby.
And thanks for the advice.
All right.
In their apartment, Sam concentrates on his plate while Abby studies the ends of her chopsticks. As she sets them aside, she purses her lips and playfully regards her fiancé as he eats.
Are you going to go through a slut phase?
What? No. Why would you say that?
You're not even thinking about it?
That's the absolute furthest thing from my mind right now. It's further than, like, meeting someone on Tinder.
Okay, but Tinder can't be that far from your mind because you just said it, which means you had to be thinking about it, which means you're thinking about this too.
Yeah, I'm busted.
I'm serious. Look at you. The...
What?
Puppy dog eyes, the absent-minded professor thing.
I'm just a TA.
This is a disaster.
What are you talking about?
You don't know. Because you have no experience. Women are gonna eat you alive.
I can take care of myself.
But what if you can't? Who's gonna match your socks or keep up with your glasses or make you chicken?
You don't make me chicken.
Yeah, but I would. Hypothetically.
Well, our hypothetical chicken has been in the freezer for like a year.
She gets up and storms over to the freezer.
What are you doing?
Figuring out how to cook a chicken.
Now?
No time like the present.
She holds her phone to her mouth.
How do I cook a chicken?
Let me think about that. Okay, I found this on the web for how do I cook a chicken.
That'd be amazing.
Just because you're dying doesn't mean your life stops.
In the treatment suite.
Then how come at the end of Reloaded, Neo can just all of a sudden use his powers outside of the Matrix? Explain that.
Because the entire Matrix was a metaphor. Can't see that? You're in the Matrix right now.
There's still ups and downs and aerobics. Some things are pretty easy to let go of. She trashes her sneakers. In bed with Sam, some things are harder.
It's like you forget all the other things.
With neurology textbooks in front of her, Abby writes post-it notes reading, check your socks, and smile, and too soon? At work, Abby stares at her phone when Melanie hurries over with a book.
Abby, have you read the new Cleocatra? Marianne Hall's awesome. She writes this whole narrative about a feline in ancient Egypt. I think we should take a meeting with her. Abby?
Melanie sits.
Oh yeah, it's great. I love it.
Are you on a dating app? Cancer making you super horny for girls?
Abby creases her brow.
Who uses these things anyway?
I don't know. I do. But why are you on it?
She turns to look at Melanie.
Just research.
Okay, I'm gonna set up this meeting, cool?
Oh yeah, sure, Melanie. Make it work.
Sweet! Hi, you.
See, Abby taps the screen on her phone and makes a face. Fine. She rotates her phone horizontally and swipes through photos of women. I can't stay
here in the slutty. Sluttier. I can keep. Ooh. On triplets. My.
She continues swiping photos while at her support group.
I just thought I can't keep fighting.
Jim, you don't have to go there, because it's all about attitude.
Let's let Jim have his process.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I just think that his process should be more positive.
Everyone is entitled to be sad.
Thank you.
It's not even your cancer.
I like to think of it as me.
Of course you do.
You know what I'm loving these days is meditation. And I know it sounds trite, but I just have been feeling so blessed every time I sit there in silence.
Maybe you could try that now. Or we can laugh. That's okay, too.
Sorry. Sorry, just some of these women is cheesy. I want to dip you in whipped cream and put my cherry on top. What does that even mean, anatomically speaking?
Using a Sunday model as a sexual proposition.
It is confusing, I have to say. I mean, Cherry's got to be a hymen, right?
Probably a busted hymen.
Mm-hmm.
I mine broke on a horse.
And me, I was born without one. So.
It was my favorite horse, though.
Okay, that's about it for today.
Shadow.
In the lobby, Myron finds Abby sitting by the window with her phone.
New sexting just now?
Let me have my process.
Your process is sexting?
You're the one who said Sam would go through a slut phase. Thought you were crazy, but then I thought about it more. He's gonna be a chick magnet. And the worst part is, he's gonna have no idea how to handle it because he's never had to date. It's gonna be lonely and vulnerable. He could wind up with someone really controlling and crazy.
Imagine that.
I have to make sure he finds love and learns how to cook chicken.
Classic rookie mistake.
What are you talking about?
Thinking you can do something to lessen the loss. There's a word for what you're doing. It's a technical term. You want to know it?
Oh, thanks.
Anticipatory grieving. Trying to cope with the loss before it happens. So Meryl over there writes a birthday card to her husband for every year she's going to be gone. And Jim makes a video montage of himself as Santa for all the Christmases he's going to miss with his kids. Doesn't change anything. Look, what do I know? My advice, you're hooking him up. Concentrate on a booty. Yours, you know, it's flat.
My booty is not flat.
You have a terrible ass.
Fuck you!
Yeah, give me that.
Myron grabs her phone.
You got a match.
Oh, really?
Sexy Pants 89.
Okay, let me see that.
Why 89?
Why do you think? She was born in 1989.
And then you get
another one.
What happens if...
At a duck pond, Sam and Benji share a joint.
We can look into doctors and experimental treatments and all that shit. I mean, she's gonna beat the odds, man. I mean... That's what odds are for, well, for beating. Germany, man. Look, I bet Abby is on the phone right now with doctors from Germany, just
Benji.
Like, yeah?
Talk about something else.
Yeah. Okay. See that? Some notes.
Sam drinks from a bottle in a brown bag.
Okay, guess how many people have the same birthday as you?
Sam shrugs.
10 million. You know the percentage of identical twins?
5.
Mm-mm. 3. Oh, man, did you know that a pig's orgasm lasts for 30 minutes? 30 whole minutes, man, yeah. And then when bats fly out of the cave, they go left.
Why?
Hell if I know, man. Donald F. Duck. What's his middle name?
Frank.
No.
Frederick.
No.
Fauntleroy.
Fauntleroy? Tell Abby she has really good pie, too, man.
In her treatment suite.
You know, I'm only trying to prepare him for the inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be real. Life is gonna go on.
I'm gonna go ahead and just stop you right there. This is all maybe some of the dumbest shit that I have ever heard in my entire life. And if you do get better, you're gonna feel like a real ass.
You are not allowed to talk to me like that, okay? I'm sick.
I don't think that makes you special in this context. Not working. No, come on, that's not gonna work. Nope. Nope, pouty thing, that's not working either. Nope, none of it. Are you showing me your tubes? It's very mature.
Off my chair.
You want some orange rice?
No.
No, all right.
Thank you.
It's a pretty dumb idea, though.
It is not dumb.
At a coffee shop, Abby interviews different women.
He's kind of, a little academic.
So I decided to cut out gluten. That was like the first thing that I did. I just like wake up in the morning and feel like totally fatigued. It's like,
She jots notes.
You know, into his science-y stuff. I don't really get any of it, but. No.
You know what's the weirdest thing? My cat's name is Sam.
She lifts her eyebrows.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Too freaky, too needy, too slutty, too neurotic.
And, you know, he's allergic to cats. So, you know, if you have... Okay, then.
The woman stands and leaves. Abby writes a note beside her name. Yikes.
So, it says on your online profile you were Phi Beta Kappa. I had no life in college. And now you're a researcher for the National Institute of Health?
Yes.
Still have no life.
I'm just tired of being alone. I'm where I want to be career-wise, and I really would like to settle down and have a family. Oh, my God. Oh, sorry. I was going to fall over. Natural caretaker, also overbearing neurotic.
I'm the same way. Let's set up a date.
Okay. If I could just be honest with you, I just don't quite understand why a man would send his assistant to pre-interview women. I don't get it.
Yeah, here's the deal.
Outside the cafe. A barista watches out the window as Sally admonishes Abby. Back inside, Abby strides to her seat and bumps her coffee off the table.
Sorry.
The short-haired barista helps Abby clean up the mess.
It's kind of a long story.
I think I heard it. I mean, I know I shouldn't, but spying on the customers is like the only thing that makes this job halfway bearable. You are way more interesting than most.
I know, it's unusual.
Oh, yo, dude, I think it's awesome. Like, my mom died 7 years ago. I was in high school. And after she passed, my dad spent every night alone. And I tried to tell him, go out, live life, find someone.
But not just anyone, the right person.
Exactly, which is hard.
Right.
I mean, do you have any, like, friends or anything that could, like, take him off your hands?
Not anyone that would get this.
Right. I mean, the thing is, finding the right one is actually about volume. You should host a mixer. No, invite some
right.
people.
Nothing says fun like a mixer hosted by your dying fiance.
I mean, I'm having an art opening at this gallery space on Friday. You could use it as a front. You, like, wouldn't even need to be there. And an art opening could bring together some really interesting women, like the right types. Not that there wouldn't be some people there with, like, interested in the free snacks, but...
I wouldn't want to...
No, honestly, dude, you'd be doing me a real solid.
I'm Abby.
They shake hands.
I'm Mira.
At a hip clothing store, Abby and Myron cruise the men's department. Myron stops to check out a sweater.
$150. This place is a ripoff. I could make this myself. 1 week tops.
Focus, please. We just need to freshen up Sam's look a little.
Why is that again?
Trust me. Any woman that meets him is going to want to shop for him. The wrong one will put him in B's.
Myron tries a fringed vest.
What are you doing?
What? You're the only one who gets to make bad decisions because you're dying? Terminal cancer. Put it on my bill.
You're just so cool with everything.
I'm not cool. Any of this. I've been dying longer than you have. You're better at it.
How?
Well, it's like this vest. At first, it's, why is that old man wearing that horrible vest? And pretty soon, I become the best guy. And after that, you realize that you'd hardly recognize me without it. I look comfortable in it. It's part of me, so you accept it.
I don't think I can ever accept you in that vest.
No?
He takes it off.
Try this on. I want to see what it'll look like on Sam.
Okay.
Abby helps him into a blazer, and he checks out his reflection.
Okay. Yeah. But let me pair it with some skinny jeans.
Okay.
I look 3 days younger.
Come on.
In their bedroom, Abby helps Sam put on a pair of skinny jeans.
Ah! They're cutting off my circulation. But seriously, my ankles are tingling, my feet are asleep.
You look hot.
It's just... Can I ask what this is about?
Just some retail therapy.
Right. And where am I supposed to put my phone?
Now. Okay, this jacket is dry clean only, which means if I'm not around, do not put this in the laundry. Shit. Laundry. All right, so.
Really?
Okay, so.
I know how to turn
colors,
it
colors, whites, delicates.
Right.
The dryer sometimes gets stuck, so you just give it 2 kicks right here, like that, and it'll generally unstick. Exactly. This dial is the minutes. It tells you how much time you have left.
Her eyes glisten, and she turns away.
If the time runs out before the clothes are ready, you just turn the dial.
She stares at the dryer, then looks sadly to Sam. He shuts his eyes and moves toward her. He kisses her and puts his hand to her cheek. As he massages her wrist, she moves in and presses her lips to his mouth. She rips his glasses off and passionately kisses him. Sam picks her up and she straddles him in front of the fridge. She pulls away and brings her hand to her side. She leans over the sink. He touches his forehead to her back, warming into a grin.
Yeah, I tend to have that effect on women. Too soon?
He pours her a glass of water from a pitcher. On the roof, Abby gazes out at the sunset as Sam sneaks over. He covers her eyes with his hands and kisses her.
I love you, Abs.
I love you, Sam.
I've loved you since the beginning.
I love you since the beginning.
And I'll always love
you. I'll always love you.
I'll love you forever, forever.
In treatment, Abby's mom spritzes her.
Would you stop?
Hospitals are very dehydrating. Don't touch your face. I don't want you to get sick.
She shoots her mom a look.
More sick.
Everything going okay in here?
Abby gives Dominic a pleading look as her mom fusses.
Hey, Mom. Would you do me a favor, run down to the cafeteria and get us some ho-hos?
Ho-hos.
Yeah, you don't know ho-hos? They're like little pinwheel cakes, chocolate covered. They're delicious.
Abby's mom grabs her purse.
How about if I get you a green salad?
Great.
Green juice.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. Yeah, don't forget those ho-hos, though. I got a little bit of sweet tooth.
They still make ho-hos?
They still make them.
She leaves.
Thanks, Mom.
Dominic and Abby bump elbows in solidarity. She opens a magazine and smiles. At a library, Abby and Myron scan the shelves.
Psychology. Spirituality. Oh, here we go. Vegetable gardening for dummies. Camping for dummies. Ooh, he could take up bridge. Could help him meet people.
Here's a good one. The art of letting go. Try that.
Look, if you don't agree with what I'm doing...
I don't, but I enjoy hanging with you. It's interesting. You're like a slow-moving car crash. Oh.
Thanks.
He looks at erotic illustrations.
That's exactly how I feel, actually. It's like I'm heading towards this brick wall and I can't do anything. Myron?
Yeah, come on.
Myron!
Hey, I'm not dead yet.
Oh my gosh. You gonna get that?
Yes, it's a keeper. It's not a dummy book.
Abby piles more books onto her stack.
No, don't. That's enough.
Okay.
In bed, Abby fills out a dating profile for Sam.
Likes vegetable gardening and is learning to play bridge.
Abby closes her laptop and sets it on her bedside table. She turns and looks at Sam, who lies asleep with his glasses on as a textbook rests on his stomach. She gently removes his glasses and places them on his bedside table. Sam stirs as Abby climbs beneath the covers. He lays his head against hers as she nestles into his shoulder and lays her arm across his chest.
What if I'd run away and joined a cult?
I guess I would have to join too.
What if relationships between cult members was frowned upon?
Like an asexual cult?
Yeah, and you couldn't do an intervention and get me out because I was totally brainwashed.
Well, I guess I would have to become a rival cult leader, rebrainwash you according to my philosophy, and then steal you away into my cult, which would be a sex cult.
Sam smiles and drifts back to sleep.
What if I were exactly like me, except I had really terrible halitosis?
I would get you a mint. Or I would destroy the olfactory receptors in my nose so that I didn't care.
She gives a half-hearted smile, and he turns onto his side to study her.
What if I die?
I would never recover.
Abby looks up at him with wide eyes. She wraps her arm around him and nuzzles against his neck. He stares off for a moment, then shuts his eyes. Sam moves his hand to Abby's hair and kisses her forehead. Now, in the living room, Abby crochets as Benji stares at Sam.
Should I be able to tell that you're circumcised in those jeans? Because I can. There's not a lot of room for imagination or your penis in those pants.
I don't want to go to this. I don't know anything about art. I don't even like art.
Would you relax?
I'm colorblind.
She just wants people there.
Is she hot?
Trust me, Benji, it will be a target-rich environment.
See? Come on, man. Free food, cute girls. Come on, let's do this.
How exactly do you know this artist again?
We met randomly at a cafe, and we really bonded. And
when?
I don't know. I don't want to disappoint her.
You sure you can't come?
I don't feel up to it, trust me.
Okay, we'll go, just as long as you stop touching my hair.
Hey.
He strokes Sam's hair.
You're adorable. No, he can move in them.
No, not really.
Outside the apartment.
Man, I think you look amazing. I mean, this is genius. Like, there's zippers and keys.
Hey.
It's gonna do great.
Have fun.
You got this. You got this. I mean, that ass, right?
Abby waves as they head off.
Come on, hold my hand.
I gotta get it.
In a dimly lit warehouse space, young artistic types mingle. Mira scans the room as Benji chats up some ladies.
To really get into the soul of what it is that you want, you know, because that's what I focus on most, you know, just how female energy makes a man who he is.
In a car outside.
Is he mingling?
He's admiring the art.
Sam doesn't care about art.
Myron hands her binoculars.
Nah, he's just hoping if he keeps himself occupied with an activity, no one will actually talk to him.
He's very good looking, can I say that, without being awkward?
That's my whole point. What about you and your wife? How'd you two meet?
At a party. We were in college. We got hitched 3 years later.
Abby lowers the binoculars.
That's it? No story?
The story came after. Getting married, life, building a home, kids, grandkids. Sorry.
It's okay. I want to know the difference, I guess. I just want those things for Sam.
I have to hand it to you.
What?
You are stubborn. This may be the worst plan in the world, but you're committed to it, and I like that.
Yeah, well, don't be too impressed. Hasn't worked yet.
She hands Myron the binoculars.
I don't know about that.
She looks over.
What? Let me see that.
Sam talks to Mira.
No, that's just the girl whose show it is.
So?
So, she's just doing this as a favor to me.
So?
So, she's not his type.
Yeah?
Abby steals another glance.
Oh, no, don't do the snorty laugh. He did the snorty laugh. Oh, he does that when
he's nervous.
Happy.
Yeah.
Myron hands her a thermos.
Estelle's hot chocolate cures whatever ails you, except cancer. To the things we do for the people we love.
Abby and Myron drink. Then Abby turns a tearful gaze toward the art show.
Oh, it's the spot.
Myron starts the car. Inside, Sam presses his lips in frustration as he watches Benji help a woman put on her coat. He gives Sam a thumbs up as he and the woman leave together.
I thought your friend said he had a girlfriend.
He has. 12.
Well, as long as he's upfront about it with everyone, right?
Yeah.
Mira narrows her eyes.
Nah, he's definitely not. Well, this was something. Your work is really specific.
Wow, it's the best you could do. Specific.
Oh, I didn't, you know, I don't know anything about art. I'm actually colorblind.
It's black and white.
Yeah, I'm just gonna shut up now.
No, it's okay. I know it's crap.
It's not crap. This one with the face that looks like a butt.
Oh, yeah, butt face.
That's the title?
No. It's actually a self-portrait.
Really?
No! My God, is that what you think I look like?
Oh, God. Stop doing that.
I'm sorry. Sorry. I know I shouldn't mess with you. I know you and Abby are going through a lot right now.
It's actually nice to talk about something else. Donald F. Duck. What's his middle name?
Fauntleroy.
How do you know that?
Because everybody knows that.
He smiles and nods.
Well, good night. Are you okay to get home?
I live upstairs in a closet. It's not a closet. It's actually a huge bedroom by New York standards, but it's still a closet.
Okay, good night. Bye.
She follows him to the door.
I just want to say, actually, I know it's none of my business, but you guys, you and Abby, you're really inspiring.
Thank you.
What she's doing, it's to care about someone so much that you would try and find a way to take care of them and find a path for them after they're gone. I feel like if someone loved me like that for like 5 minutes, I would probably feel like the luckiest person on the face of the planet.
Sam blinks at her in confusion.
I'm sorry, I gotta go.
He leaves the gallery.
I'm sorry.
Mira uncomfortably throws her hands up. Now, Sam makes his way into the bedroom, where he finds Abby underneath the blankets. He sits down at the foot of the bed.
I know you're not really sleeping, because I know how your breathing sounds when you sleep. It's something you don't even know about yourself. I know everything about you, Abby. But I have to say, you still know how to shock the hell out of me.
What do you mean?
The clothes. The mixer.
Sam.
For the record, I am not a dummy. I know what's going on, and I went along with you trying to help me because I know it's helping you. But setting me up, are you serious?
Please, you spend your life talking about protons and neutrons.
Neurons!
Okay, Sam, most people don't find what we have once, much less
what
twice.
We have? You mean a relationship where one person is lying and sneaking around and manipulating? You're just trying to manipulate my life! Or you mean a relationship where you have such a low opinion of me that you truly believe that nobody else on the planet would ever fall for me?
But that's the whole point! You're gonna get swarmed and it's gonna be impossible to find the right person!
I already found the right person. Or I thought I had.
Abby stares at him with a stunned look. Sam looks back at her as she sets her jaw, then buries herself beneath the blanket.
Abs, I didn't... You know I didn't mean that. Hey, come here.
He climbs over to her and rests his hand on her back.
Are you okay?
He lays down. Abby's eyes glisten in the dark. Now at the park, Sam and Benji walk and drink coffees.
What is she thinking? Does she think I'm completely clueless with women? Benji?
No. Yeah? No. Wait, what?
I hate you.
I love you, though.
You've never seen me in action.
No, I've never seen you in action. I actually don't never want to see you in action either, man. You know what, actually, let me see your look. Let me see your come hither look, man. Just like, you know, let me see that. Do it. Come on. Come on.
Sam purses his lips.
A little hair in there?
Well.
God! Just stop, man. I don't ever want to see that again. I mean, it's just really upsetting.
Yeah, well, it's all pretty upsetting.
I know.
What do I do?
Look, all you can do is be there for her, however you can. I mean, look, she's got to be scared out of her mind. And right now, she just needs to know that if the worst thing happens, that you are going to be okay.
What if I don't know if I'm going to be okay?
I guess, you pretend? You pretend.
Sam sighs and adjusts his glasses. He and Benji lean against the railing of a bridge above a river. In Central Park, Abby and Myron share a bench.
Are you ready to drop this mishigas with Sam?
You think I should?
Here's what I know. You don't have as much time as you think you do.
I don't?
No.
What are you trying to say?
I'm not saying it. The Buddha did.
I didn't realize you were Buddhist.
I'm not, but it stuck with me. And it's true for you. It's true for every person on the planet.
Abby puts a pair of binoculars to her eyes.
I need some snacks. Could you?
Oh.
Abby pulls two Ziploc bags from her purse and hands him the one with cheese puffs.
I can't believe you eat those things.
They're tasty.
Abby eats nuts.
The chemo has clearly destroyed your taste buds.
Try one.
Abby takes the cheese puff, sniffs it, and bites off the end.
They're disgusting.
Keep going. You get the tasty.
She raises a brow at Myron, then tries another bite.
There's about 20 of these. So there's 10 for you and 10 for me.
The second bite is actually not as bad.
Good for you, too.
As Abby sits and stares out at the East River, Sam meanders over. He shrugs as he takes a seat beside her.
Okay. Someone who hikes.
What?
In the future, if I ever did this again, which I probably won't, but if I did, if it makes you feel better to know, it would be someone who hikes.
We never hike.
Because you hate it.
That's not true.
We took that one hike up Bear Mountain 10 years ago. You complained the entire time.
That's because hiking is boring. It's basically walking. And walking is something you do to get somewhere. Hiking from your car up a hill and then back to your car is totally pointless.
He grins and playfully raises his brow.
Okay. Duly noted.
Thank you.
Hiking. What else?
I like dancing. I would like to try ballroom dancing classes. You know, like the foxtrot or the waltz, even though...
It's lame.
I know you think it's lame.
The foxtrot? Seriously?
Yeah.
How about something just moderately nerdy, like swing?
Is this person for you or for me?
Okay.
Good.
Get it. I'll update your profile.
What profile?
This profile.
He covers his face as she shows him her phone.
God.
You're welcome.
You've been pretending to be me?
No. So, Sam?
Did I tell you you're sick?
Likes neutrons and merengue.
Neurons!
Okay, what do you think of this picture?
You took a picture of me while I was sleeping?
Come on, I worked really hard on this. No? You want me to take another
one? Yeah, that's okay.
Ready? Okay, come on. Smile. Okay. What do you think? What do you think of that?
Oh. That's good. Black and white.
You wanna add something?
Yeah. Maybe like it's what's inside that counts.
Words appear. 2 months later. By her closet, Abby faces a mirror as she runs her fingers through her hair. Her hand comes back with a cluster of dark curls. She stares at the clump of hair, then back at her reflection as she feels through her thinning hair. Distracted, she sets down a water glass.
You coming to bed? Abby?
Sam walks in.
What is it?
It's broken.
Oh, it's broken. It's okay. Just get another one. It's fine.
No, we can't! You gave it to me when we were kids.
Shards of porcelain litter the floor as Sam gathers Abby in his arms. He hugs her as she weeps into his shoulder. Overlooking a New York harbor at night, Abby has dinner with her mom.
You've hardly touched your food.
Abby glances up at her.
You look thin. You feeling all right?
I'm sorry, I'm just not hungry. But I appreciate you visiting.
Well, of course I'm going to visit. I'm your mother.
You know, my support group leader, Shauna, she's great. And she says that there's an intelligence to the universe.
Wait, you're in a support group?
Yeah, you know, for parents of... Well, anyway, I was sharing with the group what you were doing with Sam, you know, for Sam. And, they didn't think it was a healthy coping strategy.
Yeah, well, I'm not healthy, so...
Come on now, don't be that way, you know? Miracles happen. Okay, you have cancer,
It's cancer.
Well, now, that is not what I meant.
And you don't like my coping strategy because you'd rather live in a fantasy land than accept the fact that I'm not gonna be here.
Well, how the hell am I supposed to accept that?
Abby rubs her forehead.
Look, Mom, I get it. You got a raw deal, first dad way too soon, and now this, and I'm sorry that I'm dying and leaving you all alone. And I'm sorry if I'm going about it in a way that is not acceptable to your support group. But I don't believe there's an intelligence to the universe. I think the universe is dumb and mean and wrong, and I am doing the very best
right.
I can to make it and Sam a little bit more.
All right. Abigail.
Okay?
Come on.
All right.
Don't do that.
Okay.
Don't leave. Don't go. Honey. Abby.
restaurant patrons turn their heads as Abby leaves. In the support group.
So I found a service online that can turn you into a tree when you die. You curl up in a little pod and they put your body in a fetal position and they rest you inside of a tree. Or you can be part of a coral reef.
That's great. You can either be worm food or fish food.
Will you become part of a larger ecosystem?
No. You don't become anything. Because you are dead. Corpse. Dead. Mort. Yeah?
Your doily's ugly.
I'm just trying to find something positive here, Phil.
People need to relax.
I don't want to relax.
Okay.
I want to fight. I want to fight. And the way that I do that, my process of doing that, is to maintain an upbeat attitude. That is not natural. That doesn't come naturally for me. Very hard. It takes a lot of work. I have mantras. I have affirmations. I have a theme song. I sing my theme song wherever I go. And if that makes me an asshole, I'm sorry, Phil. I don't give a rat's tit because I am trying to survive here. I'm trying to live.
She gestures to an empty chair.
Unlike...
She cocks her head, then covers her mouth in shock.
I already forgot his name.
Jim.
Jim. His attitude was piss poor. Look what happened to him. You know who else's attitude is piss poor?
She winks at Phil.
I don't know, that's helpful.
Can you sing your theme song?
Kate raises her eyes to the ceiling.
Kate?
Myron and Abby listen.
Walking around, walking on the street. Walking around the town, it's Kate.
Phil sighs as the group leader claps.
Crocheting roses, it has like 8 verses, but that's the first stanza.
Your wig is pretty.
It's my hair mirror.
Outside, Abby strolls the sidewalk in headphones.
Call me your side and I will now be.
She stops at a storefront and stares through her reflection at a diamond engagement ring. Now at home, the ring gleams on a table between Sam and Abby. She flicks her eyes at him expectantly.
It cost how much?
I think it's pretty.
Well, it's a metal ring with a shiny rock on top.
Women like them.
We needed that money for our future, for your treatments.
He reaches for it.
I'm taking it back.
You can't. I have the receipt.
Abby gives a challenging stare.
I'm never giving it to anybody.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do.
You could one day need a ring, and then you'll have this one, and you'll be grateful,
what
and
I
then
do?
You'll...
Do you really think I'd propose with a ring you picked out? Come on. Hey, new person, here you go. This ring was personally selected by my dead ex. She'll love hearing that.
He gives her a hard look as she stares back with a wounded expression.
You're right.
I only meant... This was our entire rainy day fund.
Sam, you've made your point.
She drops the receipt beside the ring and storms away. Sam slumps down on the couch. In the bird sanctuary, Abby and Myron gaze through binoculars.
You can't stay mad at him forever.
He started it. He freaked out over something that wasn't even that big of a deal.
If it's no big deal, get over it.
I am over it. I don't see why I have to be the one to fix something that wasn't even my fault. What are we even looking at?
For a hawk.
And why is this fun?
It's not. It's an obsession. Speaking of obsession, just apologize and move on.
How can I? You know, it's like they say, when you get sick, you really see what the people around you are made of.
They sit.
What if Sam and I aren't right for each other after all? What if we never were?
Me and Estelle had a fight once, lasted 2 years, 1990 to
92. Over what?
A couch. Ugly, purple couch. She wanted it. I didn't. We put it in the living room, and I was angry for 2 years.
And then you got rid of it?
No. I got over myself.
Are you implying I need to get over myself?
I'm saying it out loud, flat out.
Abby studies his profile.
You've loved and been loved. You're one of the lucky ones. Now you're gonna die. That's it.
Why are you being like this? I thought you were my friend. I don't even give a shit about knitting.
Crochet.
Whatever. The only reason I even went back to Yarn Freaks Anonymous all those times was to see you.
You shouldn't have done that.
Why?
Why? Why make friends with somebody who's terminal? But I'm glad you did.
He turns and meets her gaze. She puts her hand on Myron's shoulder. Now, Abby enters her apartment.
Sam?
She sets her purse on the counter.
Sam?
As she glances around the apartment, she slips out of her jacket and hangs it on the coat rack, then goes to the fridge and opens it. She shakes a green smoothie, picks out a wine glass from the shelf, and goes to the counter. She pops the lid, pours herself a glass, and sits down. She pinches her nose and gulps down the mixture. At a bar, Benji watches as Sam takes a shot.
She won't talk to me. She's mad all the time. It's like she's been replaced by a lunatic.
You know, the more and more you talk, the more you sound like a crazy person. You know that?
Hi. Oh, no. Can I get you a drink? Let me buy a drink.
Sam, man, stop. Hey, just ignore him. He's adorable, but he's not available. What are you doing? What are you doing, man?
This is what she wants.
No, this is what she thinks that she wants, man. She's not thinking clearly. You said it yourself that she's acting like a lunatic.
Since when are you poster child for fidelity?
Oh, that's real nice, man. Yeah, I play the field. Yeah, I fuck around more than I should, but guess what? I would give it all up for one moment of what you and Abby have.
What we had. You mean? Yeah, what do you know?
He turns back to the woman beside him.
So, can I ask what that is? Because it comes in the same glass, but it has a completely different color.
You know what? No.
And you have it on ice?
Hey, these drinks are on me, and enjoy this. Yeah.
Where you going?
Have a great.
Why are you? It's like.
I've got other things to do.
Benji leaves, and Sam finishes his drink.
I'm coming.
Now, Mira stands before a photo in her art studio. Sam appears behind her at the door.
Oh, shit, he's here.
Hey.
Hey, hi.
I just,
He shrugs drunkenly.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, as Sam walks along the riverside, he runs his hand over the railing. Up ahead, the Brooklyn Bridge spans across the water. Opens the apartment door and catches on the chain lock. He reaches in but can't undo the chain.
Abby? Abs, are you there?
Go away.
She watches from the couch. Through the gap in the door, Sam bites his lip.
Just want to be on my own, okay?
I don't care what you want. I'm done with whatever you want.
What?
You want me to be okay after your goblin newsflash? I'm not gonna be okay, no matter how much you try to push me away. You can't make me okay without you.
Abby begrudgingly tosses off a blanket and trudges toward the door, where she undoes the chain and opens it.
What happened to you?
She gives him a stern look.
Well, I was out with Benji.
She studies him.
I just talked to him.
He said he left you hours ago.
I was at Mira's. The bad photographer?
He blinks his bloodshot eyes.
She has cats.
Her eyelid twitches as she scrutinizes his face.
It's none of my business.
Of course it's your business.
No, it's good. What? It's actually a good thing you're moving on. That's what I've been trying to get you to do.
Abby.
You're a little ahead of schedule.
It was nothing. Look at me.
Don't fucking touch me!
Come on, just... Abby, let me in. I'm...
Sam bows his head and rests it against the door. At the publishing house, Melanie finds Abby packing her things into a box.
Here, I thought maybe you'd want to do some crafts.
Melanie adds her gift to the box.
Hey, you got this.
Abby and her friend look at one another, then share a hug. In the classroom, while students work at their desks, Sam gazes out the window. On the riverside, Abby plays with the rubber band around her finger as the wind blows her hair. She remembers being with Sam in bed. Soft light falls over them as Abby caresses Sam's face and they tenderly kiss. In an office at night, she gazes off as car lights pass on the street below.
I'm so sorry, Abby. We're just not seeing the results we would like to see. It's time for you to start focusing on what your priorities might be, kinds of things you might like to do, and who you want to be spending time with.
She remembers Sam laughing and smiles sadly.
Oh, Abby. The music in my head. Abby, is your husband here with you today?
A doctor sits facing Abby from behind a desk. Abby runs her fingers over the bridge of her nose. Replace the
small disgraces. And anyway, he's places that I never not my husband.
Sunlight glows through the curtains of their empty apartment. Meanwhile, Abby enters the treatment suite.
You're always
miles ahead. Dominic sits with the man in the tuxedo. And you're
standing. Hey. I got you a milkshake. I put it by your chair.
Abby blinks tearfully and looks away.
I'm actually just checking out of the treatment suite. I really enjoyed my stay, but I don't think I'll be back.
Dominic stands and looks at her with concern.
We'll take care, all right? Hey, remember us on Yelp.
Abby smiles at him and leaves. Now, in the support center, Abby sits next to the teacher as she crochets.
And I realized I've never really been on my own, you know? If I had a good day, tell Sam. If I had a crappy day, complain about it with Sam. Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to gently pull the yarn back around from front to back.
Maybe I missed out on something, being so bound up with him. Maybe I missed out on a lot of things. Maybe we're not supposed to be so intensely bound up with one person over such a long time anyway. Why? You know, maybe life is about...
Why
about...
don't we untangle all this and start...
Crocheting is not a metaphor.
I know. I was talking about needlework.
I'm sorry. You say it's a metaphor a lot.
I know I use it as a metaphor, but I wasn't on this occasion.
Maybe you could do, like, the quote thing.
Where's Myron?
Other members of the group avert their gaze.
Where's Myron?
Abby's eyes dart to the teacher.
He He left us.
Distressed, Abby grabs her things and leaves. At the elevator, she lowers her head and cries. As the elevator door closes, the teacher glances around the room. He holds up the remains of Abby's project.
Anybody know what this is?
I think it's a metaphor for you being a terrible crochet teacher.
He scrunches his lips and looks at his lap. On a block crowded with homes, Abby steps up on a porch. Inside, an older woman pads to the front door.
Hi, are you Estelle?
Yeah.
I'm Abby.
Come inside.
Estelle leads Abby through the living and dining rooms as well-dressed men and women mill about. Abby steps around a table filled with platters of food.
They're all sitting shiva. There's all kinds of food. But me, I'm sticking with the scotch. Scotch?
Yes, please.
Estelle pours a glass from a decanter. With a smile, she hands the drink to Abby.
Thanks.
Abby and Estelle both take sips.
So, what happened?
He'd been getting weaker for a week or so, not eating, sleeping a lot of the time. He was in pain, but he didn't want to go to the hospital. He wanted to be here at home, just the two of us. At the end, he looked at me and smiled and said, "I'll see you around." And I know I will.
She sips her scotch.
The last time I saw him, he didn't mention anything. I didn't know he was in pain. Why wouldn't he tell me?
Abby, it's not about you. You know, Myron always said you were a bit of a schmuck.
He did? I thought we were friends.
Oh, you were. He was friends with a lot of schmucks.
Abby wears a vulnerable look.
What else did he say?
Just that you got your head so far up your ass worrying about Sam and what's going to happen to him. Trying to control everything and predict all the what-ifs. And you're missing out on the good part.
And what is that?
What is?
Abby's expression softens.
Do you want to meet the family?
Thanks, but, I think I've got to go find Sam.
Sure.
You have a lovely home. But I agree with Myron on the couch.
A gaudy purple couch sits in the living room. Outside, Abby pulls on a stocking cap and takes out her cell phone. With the phone to her ear, she walks along the riverside. She spots Sam seated at a bench. He stands and starts toward her.
Hey, Abby,
wait, let me.
Sam nods as sunlight glimmers between them.
I've had some bad luck recently.
Yeah.
I thought if I planned your whole future, it wouldn't hurt so much not to be a part of it. But the truth is, you'll be with whoever you want to be with.
No, I won't.
Yes.
No.
Yes, and I can't help it if you lose your glasses or your socks don't match. To let you go.
No.
I'm letting you go.
Sam shifts on his feet and adjusts his glasses. He gets down on one knee and brushes the hair from his eyes.
What are you doing?
Abby. For as long as I can remember, I've wanted to spend forever with you. And I know we don't have forever, but the truth is, nobody does. I love you now.
Abby's eyes fill with tears.
I love you now.
Just give me your hand.
He pulls the rubber band off her finger and tosses it aside. Sam rummages around his pocket, then pulls out the diamond ring and holds it up. Abby pulls in a breath as he slides it onto her finger.
Marry me.
She smiles at him through tears as he stands up and kisses her. As they gaze at each other, her eyes light up.
What?
You so wanted this ring for yourself.
I did not.
No?
No.
But it's your size.
So?
They hold hands and walk along the river.
So, the cake? Chocolate, hazelnut, or raspberry?
Oh, no, you don't.
Oh, yes. I do.
As they stroll along, Abby steps up onto a bench and puts her arm around Sam's shoulders. At a bridal boutique with Abby's mom.
How do I look?
Like the most beautiful girl in the world. The light of my entire life. My baby.
As they stand in front of a mirror, Abby fans out the skirt of the wedding gown, then wipes away tears.
Then let's take it.
Okay. We found the dress.
This is the one.
Okay.
Okay.
You're the boss.
Just FYI, this is not up to par with my bachelor party standards, okay? We should be rocking Vegas.
This is more my speed.
That's very sad, but that is actually true. You're lucky, man. Because you have me.
In their apartment, Abby watches as Sam hangs Christmas lights.
What do you think? Too much? Good. So I was thinking, we could put the bar over there by the windows, and have the people sit here, and arrange the chairs, and have the food at the table, of course, and then speeches sort of happen here. I'm trying to keep Benji from talking.
Please, God.
Yeah.
And where will the dancing be? Our first dance?
Well, I was thinking here. It'll be tight, but you'll see. It'll be great.
She gazes at him from the couch.
Show me now.
Sam steps over as she extends her arm. He takes her by the hands. He helps as she slowly sits up on the couch, then guides her to her feet.
Should we start with the foxtrot, maybe? Or the merengue?
Yeah, I know. You think it's lame.
Because it is lame.
It's not lame.
It's so lame.
You know, you're really good at it, right?
Abby rests her head against Sam's chest as they slow dance in the middle of the room. Sam moves his hand down her back and holds her close.
I'm sure we'll find some way to make it. I really beat you.
Six stitches.
Can't believe you still have this.
She runs her finger along the scar on his neck.
I'll have it forever.
He blinks back tears.
Everyone else is asleep.
They hold each other close and sway.
My old friend, hey, my
as the sun rises, cars crawl across the Williamsburg Bridge.
End, hey,
Abby opens her eyes. She smiles as she stares out the window. A hawk carves a circle in the overcast sky. As she watches the bird fly off, Abby's eyelids flutter, then gently close. She lies peacefully in bed. Now, a pair of wedding bands gleam in their ring boxes. In the bedroom, wearing two different colored socks, Sam puts on dress shoes. A card addressed to Dear Sam and Abby is propped against a stack of wedding gifts. On a table, three wedding cakes sit with labels that say hazelnut, chocolate, and raspberry. In the closet, the wedding gown hangs from the center of the rack. Sharply dressed friends and family fill the living room. Estelle with Abby's mom.
Champagne? It's Abby's favorite.
Would you have something stronger? A scotch, perhaps?
Oh, absolutely. We have everything.
You know that Maine is the only state with one syllable?
Did you know that one cow can make 400 hamburgers?
Do you know how many people have the same birthday as you?
No, but did you know that fish can't play?
Did you know everyone has a unique...
Sam.
Thank you all for coming. Man, I know it's weird that we're all here. But hey, we have all this food and liquor and three really big cakes, so... You know. And I didn't want to be alone. I couldn't be alone tonight. I wasn't sure if I was going to open this, if I was ready, but I don't have any words of my own right now, so... And I'm sure we'd all love to hear from her. I would, anyway.
He opens an envelope and takes out a handwritten letter.
Sam, full disclosure, I'm starting to have a pretty strong feeling that I might not make it to the big day. So yeah, you're probably on your own. Sorry about that. I guess this really gives new meaning to the term cold feet. Too soon? Too soon. So why'd I go ahead with planning it anyway? Well, mostly I thought, no matter what, you're probably gonna need a party. True. See, sometimes it's not so bad to have someone plan for you a tiny bit. So if you'll allow me, just a few words of advice. Mom?
Please try to stop worrying. Have a little fun once in a while. And keep up with the support group.
Maybe there's someone there for you.
Benji, continue to help Sam with his game, but please don't ever leave him in a bar late at night again. We all know how that ends. Estelle, I'll say hi to that schmuck of yours. We'll be checking out the Hawks from above now. To the last group I ever wanted to be a member of, crocheting is a metaphor for life. It's really hard. And one last thing. The most important thing I wanted to say.
To Sam. Thank you.
As kids, they hold hands and twirl.
I've loved you since the beginning. I'll love you forever. You have been the greatest gift of my life. You're gonna be okay, Sam. I'll see you around.
Abby walks along the riverside at night. At the aquarium, Sam watches the fish.
Truth is, I don't know how to say goodbye to Sam. Because I don't want to say goodbye. But this is how my story ends. Too soon? Yeah.
Yeah. Too soon.
Text appears over a black background, directed by Stephanie Lang. In his bedroom, Sam turns the pages of a textbook written by Bess Wall. On one page, a post-it note reads, "Hi." Produced by Jonathan Trapper, Farah Abushwesha, Stephanie Lang. Another note reads, "I love you." Produced by Brian Robbins, Matt Kaplan. Another post-it tells him to check your socks. Executive producers, Christy Colliopoulos, Bess Wall. Sam lifts the note up with a smile. Executive producers, Brian O'Shea, Nat McCormick, Giovanna Trischeda. Sam lifts the textbook overhead and squints as he flips through the pages, looking for more notes. Credits roll. Gugu Mbatara, Mikhail Hausman, Steve Coogan, Tim Simons, Zach Cherry, Jesse Ennis, Glenn Fleshler. Sabrina Guevara, Brian Tyree Henry, Rick Holmes, Alana Masterson, Gail Rankin, Aaron Richards, Tammy Sager, Tamara Tooney, Merritt Weaver, with Jackie Weaver, Kate McKinnon, and Christopher Walken. Casting by Sherry Thomas, CSA, and Sharon Bialy, CSA. Director of Photography, Magdalena Gorka, PSC. Production Designer, Dara Wishingrad. Editors, Joe Klotz, ACE, and Deidre Slevin. Music by Leslie Barber. Costume Designer, Whitney Ann Adams. Co-producers, Matthew Myers, Buzz Koenig, and Michelle Gainless. Associate Producers, Sherry Thomas and Caddy Vanisirical. Irreplaceable You, Netflix presents a Netflix original film. An ACE production, a Trapper Inc. Rowcliffe PYPO production. In association with Opposite Field Pictures, in association with The Exchange. More credits roll.
Kate, walking around, walking on the street, walking around the town. It's Kate, crocheting roses, and crocheting roses. Kate, smiling all the time, smiling all the time. It's Kate. Crocheting roses, Kate. Riding the G train all day long. It's Kate. Kate, happy and high on life all the time, smiling all the time, all of the time. It's Kate. Crocheting roses. Crocheting the hell out of these damn roses. Yeah.
Unit Production Manager Matthew Myers. First Assistant Director Mark Garland. Second Assistant Director Angela Catrone. Cast. Gugu Mbatara as Abby. Mikhail Hausman as Sam, Steve Coogan as Mitch, Timothy Simons as Dominic, Jackie Weaver as Estelle, Kate McKinnon as Glass Half Full Kate, Christopher Walken as Myron, Zach Cherry as Jim, Jesse Ennis as Melanie. Glenn Fleshler as Mean Phil, Sabrina Guevara as Dr. Michelson, Brian Tyree Henry as Benji, Rick Holmes as Dr. Kessler, Alana Masterson as Sally, Gail Rankin as Mira, Aaron Richards as Amber, Tammy Sager as Meryl, Tamara Tooney as Jane, Merritt Weaver as Mindy, Alyssa Cheatham as Young Abby, Celeste O'Connor as Teen Abby, Zachary Hernandez as Young Sam, Sawyer Barth as Teen Sam, Michael Gaston as Crochet Master, Angelo Pizza as Blonde Kid, Vanessa Carrasco as Naughty Kid, Eden Alexander as Cute Little Kid, Alexa Trapper as Awkward Girl, and Grace Rex as Interviewee. Production Supervisor Jack Donegan, Script Supervisor Andrea Ulrich, Location Manager Daniel McCarthy, Production Accountant Joseph J. Murphy, Art Directors Patrice Andrew Davidson and Martin Farrar. Copyright 2018 IY Productions, Inc. IY Productions, Inc. is the author of this motion picture for purposes of copyright and other laws. The events, characters, and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons, living or dead, or to actual events or firms is purely coincidental. Irreplaceable You. Letters pop out from a white background, then turn red. Netflix.